Hey friend, welcome to Mamahood After Trauma. I'm your host, Emily Cleghorn. This podcast is about rising from the ashes of your past trauma so you can step into motherhood with a fierceness and confidence you didn't know was possible and become a generational game changer. I'm so excited you've decided to include me on your journey. Together, we are going to rise and shine. Let's go. Hello, hello, friends. Welcome to another episode of Rise and Shine with Emily C. I am so thankful you have taken some time out of your day to join me. Today, I am joined by Kim Keen. Welcome, Kim.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, it's lovely to be joined by you. Let's get started. Why don't you just tell our audience a little bit about yourself, your journey, and we'll go from there.
Sounds good. So like Emily said, my name is Kim, and I'm a mom. So I have two daughters. Lily will be 13 in December and Casey will be 10 in November. And every day I'm still trying to come to terms with the fact that I have almost a teenage daughter because it's gone by in the blink of an eye. And as she gets closer to 13, she's like showing more of her teenage-ish behaviors. And I'm like, oh, am I ready? You know, because my parents are always like, paybacks, because I was quite a challenging teenager. And I'm like, oh my God, it's true. I am going to get paid back. But then I'm like, no, because I'm doing this parenting journey a little bit different than my own parents. So hopefully the paybacks won't be quite as extreme as what I dished out to my parents. But when I'm not wearing the mom hat, which is really never because it's always on, I'm also a life coach and a Reiki healer, as well as an IET practitioner. So I actually started helping other women as a life coach, going through my own healing journey. So I was in therapy for almost 2 years, thinking that I was having an identity crisis. And I guess on some level I was, because I left my teaching career and wasn't really prepared for other things to be stirred up in that journey of childhood emotional neglect, codependency, anxiety. And so then it was a struggle trying to parent my children through that because they were small at that point. They were 2 and 5, and trying to stay sane in all of that. And so really the struggle was real. It was a very lonely journey. And I made progress, but I still felt like something wasn't quite right. And so I went to a life coaching seminar and feeling like I had nothing left to lose. And it was in the second day of that seminar where I was like, oh my gosh, ding, ding, ding. All the light bulb moments started going off about, you know, why things were the way they were. And it was in that moment where I was like, oh my gosh, I have to be able to help other women through their healing journey. So they're not being forced to take medication if that isn't really what is aligned with them.
Yeah. Yeah. And not that there's anything wrong with medication, but it seems to be the default.
Yes. No. And I just felt like for me, I couldn't do that because I already saw myself as being a failure. And so if I had to take medication to be able to cope with life, then that for me was the ultimate, most epic fail ever. But there are people who, you know, medication is the tool for them. And so of course, 100% support, because just because it isn't the right choice for me doesn't mean it isn't the right choice for someone else. So, you know, if that's the tool that you need, then absolutely by all means do that, because each person's journey is different. But for me, that was just not an option. I just couldn't bring myself to do that. And I on some level felt like I didn't need it because I didn't feel like what I was dealing with was a chemical imbalance or like a neurological imbalance. It was all learned behavior. So I just felt like taking the medication wasn't going to help me unlearn the behaviors that I was exhibiting and experiencing. So I felt like I needed to try something else before I took medication.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's dive into what are some of the things that you had to address on your healing journey to help you be able to cope with life.
Right? Because I mean, sometimes coping still feels like a struggle. It depends on the challenges that are thrown at you on a day to day, especially, you know, living mom life. But so it was really letting go of external validation. So for me, that was, I was so reliant on that for someone to say, oh my gosh, Kim, you're an amazing mom, or Kim, you're an amazing wife, or Kim, you're an amazing woman, or oh, that looks fantastic. You did an excellent job planning your daughter's birthday parties or decorating your house or whatever the case was. And that went back, not just when I became a stay-at-home mom after leaving my teaching career, but that was like really one of the catalysts for why I left teaching, because I was in a really challenging school setting and administration wasn't really supportive, but the parents also weren't supportive. And so it was like a constant barrage of, you know, you're not doing this right. You're a bad teacher. You're a bad person, blah, blah, blah. And so I felt like I was failing at my job and I was failing my students. And then I was failing my family when I came home because I was miserable. And it wasn't because there was someone there standing on the sidelines, like with pom poms and a cheerleader outfit, like, woohoo, go Kim, go Kim. And so then when I, you know, I left teaching and became a stay at home mom, there was still no one there cheering me on. And so I was like, felt like I was failing at that too. And I was like, gosh, I'm just failing at everything. I just can't seem to do anything right. And so it was letting go of waiting for someone to say, you're awesome, and being able to do it for myself. That was one of the key pieces, but also to recognizing what was actually within my control, because I was trying to control everyone and everything, including myself. Down to the way that my husband interacted with my kids, the way that my kids behaved at home and in public. And that's exhausting in itself. And I didn't realize that I only had control over myself. So letting go of the control, but also recognizing that my journey wasn't my kids' journey. So all these things that I was worried about in terms of like happening to my kids based on my own childhood wasn't a realistic story that I was telling myself. So those are probably the big key three things, because once I could let go of those things, then it was easier to navigate the journey, but still had struggles, you know?
So letting go of external validation,
yes,
releasing control and realizing that you can only control yourself. What was that third thing again?
Oh, recognizing that my journey wasn't my kid's journey. So I had all of these fears based on my own childhood experiences that, you know, if my husband, you know, said, oh, girls, you know, do the, like, put your dishes in the sink, then they were going to grow up feeling like they had a traumatic childhood because I had a traumatic childhood. And so I would, you know, micromanage, like, no, no, don't say it like that. Say it like this. Or you, it's not going to hurt for you to put the dishes in the sink for them because they're just 2 and 5. Like, you don't need to tell them to put their dishes in the sink, because, you know, I was so worried that somehow I was going to be repeating this cycle in some way, shape, or form. And then my kids were going to grow up to be like me. And in that stage of life, that was the last thing I wanted for them, was to grow up to be like me.
Yeah. Those three things are absolutely massive.
Yeah.
those are no small realizations. Those are life shaking.
Yes, especially the control thing, because I didn't even realize that I was trying to control everyone and myself. I thought I was just doing what I was supposed to do, you know?
The mom thing.
The mom thing.
So how has letting go of the external validation and letting go of the control and letting your kids have their own, walk their own journey, how have those realizations changed your life?
Well, the weight is lifted. So life doesn't feel so heavy anymore. And it doesn't feel impossible, because there were days where I just thought, like, how am I going to make it through another day? How am I going to make it through another day of taking care of me, but also taking care of two kids and a household and pets? Like, how am I going to do it? I just don't even know if it's possible. So there were times where I was like, maybe it would just be better if I like left a note and said, you know, I love you all, but you all are better off without me. And just like left my driver's license and just vanished into thin air. And then I was like, no, that's, if you're worried about trauma, Kim, and traumatizing your children, that is not the solution. That's definitely not the answer. No, running away. But it eliminated those feelings of feeling like mm-hmm. I needed to run away. Mm-hmm. But it also allows me freedom, because now when my husband says something to my kids, it catches me sometimes. And I have to mm-hmm. say internally to myself, no, Kim, that's them. You do you over here and you let them work it out, because they're going to tell their dad if he irritated them or if they don't want to listen or whatever the case may be. And he's an adult. He can figure out how to navigate that conversation. So now I just am like, you know, it gives me freedom. It gives me mm-hmm. space to actually enjoy the moments and not have to worry so much about every single thing going wrong that could possibly go wrong. And knowing mm-hmm. that when there's a little bit of a hiccup, it's going to be resolved and it's not a life ending. It's not life shattering. Everyone's going to bounce back. We're mm-hmm. all going to learn from it and everything is going to be okay.
Yeah, because you are doing things differently than you experienced growing up, and you now know how to handle those situations.
Yes.
In a healthy way.
Yes. And even if there are times, especially like way back early on in the journey, I wasn't always handling them in healthy ways. And I would lash out and I would scream and, you know, mm-hmm. act like a raging lunatic. But it gave me an opportunity to say to my kids or my husband, I'm so sorry I did that. Mm-hmm. That wasn't the right way to respond to you, but I was feeling overwhelmed in the moment, or, you know, this is what was going through my head, or mm-hmm. I just felt trapped in that situation. But next time, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask to be excused. I'm going to take some deep breaths and then I'll come back. So mm-hmm. I'm really sorry if I upset you, if I scared you, if I made you sad. And so then I do realize that those lessons, like those experiences, were valuable too, because mm-hmm. it showed my kids how to apologize when you make a mistake, that mm-hmm. you're human, you're going to make mistakes, mm-hmm. and that mistakes are okay, and that we will love each other no matter what, that the unconditional love is there, and we can practice forgiveness and compassion and grace.
Yeah, because those are important lessons too, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So what is one action step that a mama just starting her journey can take today, for example?
Yeah.
To move her healing journey along.
Yeah. So the question I wish I had asked myself during the thick of it is, why am I doing 90% of what I'm doing? And it was to give myself the feeling of being a good mom, being a good wife, being a good person. But all these things were making me miserable because I was doing them with the expectation of someone saying, you're amazing. And so really asking yourself, are the things that you're doing on a day-to-day basis, are you doing them because they're doing them from a place of joy and happiness, or are you doing them from a place of obligation? And so, you know, that will get you to the root cause of why you're doing them and why you're so miserable about them. So having this like perfectly decorated Pinterest worthy house was something I focused on all the time, because I thought if I had that and people came over, they wouldn't know how bad I was really struggling and how mm-hmm. miserable and unhappy I was. But at the same time, trying to create that and accomplish that was hugely anxiety provoking in and of itself, because mm-hmm. design is not my jam. I do not love shopping. I do not love shopping for knickknacks and tchotchkes and throw pillows and throw blankets and trying to coordinate all of those things with texture and color and patterns. No, but I was doing that and driving myself crazy in the process because I thought that's what I was supposed to do as mm-hmm. a stay-at-home mom. And so, and it was all for someone to say, wow, your house is gorgeous. Mm-hmm. But did that really matter to me at the end of the day, whether I had, you know, the latest, greatest decorations hanging on the wall? No, not really. I was just thrilled if the playroom was cleaned up, you know? And that was good for me. So, and laundry not all over the house. And so I had to really evaluate why I was doing half of what I was doing. And most of what I did that made me miserable was people pleasing. It was so that people thought that I was doing a good job. And I did it because I thought that it was expected of me, instead of saying, who cares if people like the way my house is decorated? Who cares if I have a messy, my kids have a messy playroom? We're living life and my kids are thriving and they're developing and they're getting good reports from the well check at the pediatrician, and they're happy and we're laughing and having a good time. That's really all that matters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Your joy level is really all that matters.
Yes. Because if you're not happy and feeling joyful, it bleeds into other areas of your home. Your kids feel it. Your partner feels it. You feel it. And then everybody ends up being miserable in the end.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's true, friends. It is so true. I really like the statement I heard in a course I was in a couple of years ago. And they said, how you do one thing is how you do everything. So if you are miserable in one area of your life, you better believe that it's going to bleed through every area of your life. And it's going to suck the life right out of you.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. And that's, and it's true, because I was miserable at work because I didn't realize, because it was Groundhog Day. I had a really challenging class. I had 25 little girls in kindergarten by myself with no teaching assistant, huge behavior problems. You know, like a five-year-old stole the pizza money from my desk drawer. So, So like a tough group of kids, and, you know, not having the support there. I had my two coworkers, the other two kindergarten teachers, we supported each other, but that just didn't feel enough, because what we were tackling in the day felt so huge, so monumental. And so I was miserable all day at work. And then I came home and I was miserable at home because I was exhausted. My husband was working all the time. So I always said, like, I'm married, but I'm more like a single mom than a married mom. Because my husband was pulling 13, 14 hour days between office, commute, and then working in the, in our in-home office after he had just pulled a full day in like the regular office. And so I was miserable everywhere. So it's true. And so, you know, my husband was like, you're like, you need to find something else to do besides teach. Like you need to take a break. But I was still miserable after that because my whole identity was tied to being a kindergarten teacher. Mm-hmm. So I was still miserable because it felt like nothing was changing. In fact, it felt like the walls were crashing in on me even more because I was home now, not used to being home with my kids and trying to heal all of this childhood trauma that had been dredged up without me. You know, it was blindsided to have all that dredged up because I was not expecting that in the slightest.
Yeah. Yeah. It is kind of like a freight train coming at you at full speed when it gets dug up.
Yeah. And I always say, like, therapy has been great for people, but for me, I always say it's an absolute train wreck. So it's funny that you use the analogy of a freight train coming at you, because mine crashed and derailed horribly.
Oh my. Where can our audience find you if they would like to connect further?
Yeah. So I'm on Instagram. I'm just dipping a toe into TikTok. So if anyone's on TikTok, I'm there. Not doing well, but trying, you know, stepping out of the comfort zone a bit. But you can also, they can find me on Facebook, and then also my website as well. And I have a podcast too. So all different places. I'm out there in the internet all over.
Awesome. So I will include links to all of those spots where you can find Kim and connect with her further. In the show notes, there is a link in the description of this episode. So make sure you click the see more button and find those links there. Kim, it was a pleasure speaking with you today. I thoroughly enjoyed it. We will talk again soon.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Mamahood After Trauma. If you enjoyed listening, make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you know when new episodes are released every week. Go ahead and leave a review and share the episode with your friends and family as well. Then make sure that you come and join us in the Mamahood After Trauma support system so that you can access more amazing content just like this.